Hello, this is a message of hope and healing, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here, and I'm sharing the message of God's love today with you. You know what the definition of chaos is? I'm pretty sure I witnessed it this past weekend when I watched my grandson Charlie in his first ever soccer game. That's chaos. When you see a bunch of four-year-olds running around a field, no one knows what they're doing or what the other person is doing or what team they're on or why they're wearing a mesh net, bright yellow tank top that's six sizes too big. But I saw something in all of that that was so, I think, important for me to share, that in all of that chaos that Charlie experienced, where he was uncertain and there was noise and there was things going on that he didn't understand, and why everyone was all running in different directions instead of, you know, possibly playing a game in their position. In all of that, I watched what Charlie did. And what he did was he looked across the field. Not to a coach, because she was on the field running around or whatever, and Charlie didn't really know that person. And not to people he didn't know screaming, or teammates that were running all around, or just sitting down in the middle of the field. He looked to the ones he trusted. Of all of the chaos, he listened for the voice that he knew. And that was his family. He listened for his mom and his dad. He listened for the one that had been with him when he didn't feel well at night. He listened for the one he trusted. He listened for the one who had loved him and held him and helped him. That's what he could hear above everything else, above when everything was uncertain and there was just chaos all around him. He listened for who he knew and trusted and loved. And I think that is exactly the message that I'm called to send this week. In everything that is going on, that is interrupting, disrupting, erupting in our lives, you gotta listen for the one that you trust in all of it. To know what your next steps are, to know where to be certain in uncertain times, that's what you gotta do. Amen. Don't we all feel sometimes like a four-year-old at our first soccer game? I want to tell you a story of a man named Rusty, who I've known for many years. I met him through work at a time when he had received information, a diagnosis from a doctor that was serious. And when the doctor told him about his illness, Rusty said this, and I never forgot these words. He said, "With all due respect, doctor, you have information for me, but you have no authority over me." And he didn't mean that. He explained to me. He didn't mean that in any way, that he was, you know, just setting aside what the doctor had told him, or not, you know, understanding the impact of the information. But what he was saying was, with this information, it was God who would walk forward with him out of that doctor's office and be with him during long nights and next appointments and procedures, and everything that he needed would be met in that day by God. That's what he meant by, you have facts for me, you have information for me. But the truth is provided by God as together I walk forward with my Lord. That's not rejecting the doctor at all. He said, I appreciate the information. And the information was used and was helpful. in his journey and his treatment, but what he was acknowledging was God Almighty's power and mercy and help. And that together, that is him looking across the field to his help, to listening to the voice that will guide his steps in the future. The doctor had information for him, but what would be done with that information was a lot of choices to be made and navigating those in his path, in his journey, was God lighting the way. And that's what he knew. That's where his help came from. That was him looking across the field and seeing the one he trusted and listening. Because he loved, he trusted, and he drew strength from God. I also have a friend, speaking of trust, who, this was years back, we were at a little meet and greet on an evening at church, and they had served coffee and juice and cookies and stuff. Don't ask me why we were serving coffee at night. I don't know. I just remember it. And her name was Bonnie, and she had her three little girls with her, and I had my kids, and it was a nice time. But at the end, we were sitting, they passed around a little basket for donations. I'm sure it helped cover the cost of everything. And I watched Bonnie reach into her jean pants and pull out two $1 bills and put them in the basket. And later, as we were leaving, she told me this. With tears in her eyes, she came up to me and she said, holding a gallon of milk in her hands, that those $2 that she put in that basket were the last $2 she had until her husband would get paid. And that was not for a few days. And what she was doing with them was, after she left church, this was cold and it was rainy out, she was going to stop at the grocery store and get her girls milk for cereal for the next few days. But when the basket came around, she put the money in the basket. She gave what she had to God. And as she was getting ready to leave, a lady who was one of the ones who was, running the event came up to her with a gallon of milk. And she said, "Would you like this for your girls? I will tell you, there's just a few teaspoons missing that we used for coffee." And what Bonnie said to me with tears in her eyes is, "Barb, God provided. I don't even have to get out of the car and take my girls out on a cold night in the dark. This is what God gave me." Bonnie trusted. She looked across the field. She saw her help. Amen. I will tell you that right now I'm with my sister and we're in Cincinnati, and we're here because Josie's at her monitoring appointment, and she's in New York, her and Murphy, and we're here with the kids. And I won't just gloss over this part, because 14 months after being diagnosed with rectal cancer, Josie is healed by the grace of God. Amen. 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 And we're here, and we were praying, and we were talking, we were sharing, and we had several people to pray for. And it seemed that as we were praying that more information, texts and different things from people were coming in to pray. And it was almost overwhelming, the amount of people that were in need and of a person. And Carol looked at me at one point and she said, "Do you ever think about so many wonderful people, that these wonderful people have so much going on, that they have a lot, so many struggles, so much on them?" And I remember it immediately pierced my heart, what I'm going to share with you. And I had never thought this in this way before, when you thought of a wonderful person who had gone through so much. Never thought of it this way, but I will tell you that as I have been praying more, communing with God more, sharing more, I have found it's almost like a veil has been lifted from my eyes, and I am seeing things in a different way. Amen. So when Carol said that, I remember immediately this coming to me and sharing with her. Maybe what we are supposed to see is that these wonderful people going through a lot that you know, that you are what God has sent them. You who loves in a way, if you, anyone knows my sister, you'll know someone who loves with a depth that is of a, that is God is sending through her. That is the empathy that she feels, the love that she shows, the comfort that she gives. And when Carol says she will pray for you, it's not just words. It is a deeply convicted, faith-filled person who is praying on your behalf. And so when she told me this about those people, that what I shared back with her was, God, they have a lot, but God has given a lot more. God is giving you. God is sending you for them to know that they're not alone, that they're loved, that they're helped. So I would ask you this. If you're going through something and it's tough and it seems like it's all you, look across the field. See the people that God has sent you to support you and strengthen you and help you through this. And know that even though you're going through a lot, God is a lot more and has provided you and equipped you with the people for battle. Amen. And I would ask you, if which of the two roles are you in right now? Are you the one who is in the chaos and in the struggle and feels like a four-year-old playing soccer for the first time? Or are you the one who is across the field that the person in the struggle is looking to because God has sent you? I think it's important that we know and that we recognize first where our help comes from. And then secondly, are we the help being sent? Amen. Let's pray together. Here I am, Lord. That's the start of a song, isn't it? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, where you send me. I will hold your people in my heart. Here we are. Here we are, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we seek you and to do your calling. Whether we are now your child going through a very tough time, or, Lord, we are your child being sent to the one going through a very tough time. May we recognize that you are calling. May the veil drop from our eyes. May we see clearly the path laid before us. And may we all be all that you are calling us to be in this day. For we are loved and we are called to love each other as you would have us do. It is in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.